Generosity means giving away in order to keep. Give it away in order to keep it. Give it away in order to keep it. Give it away in order to keep it. Giving away in order to keep. Generosity means giving away in order to keep. Giving away in order to keep. This has been emphasized throughout the text and the workbook, but giving away in order to keep is perhaps more alien to the thinking of the world than many other ideas in our curriculum. Its greater strangeness lies merely in the obviousness of its reversal of the world's thinking. In the clearest way possible and at the simplest of levels, the word generosity means the exact opposite to the teachers of God and to the world. Now, a teacher of God is generous out of self-interest. Now, this doesn't refer, however, to the self of which the world speaks. When I talk about being generous out of self-interest, I'm not talking about the self that the world speaks of. The teacher of God, the teacher of love, the teacher of truth does not want anything that he can't give away. Because a teacher of truth realizes that anything that you can't give away would be valueless to you by definition. What would you want something that you couldn't give away for? You can only lose because of something you can't give away. You could not gain because of something you can't give away. Therefore, a teacher of God, a teacher of truth, does not seek what only he could keep. Because seeking something that only you can keep is a guarantee that you're going to lose it. And a teacher of love doesn't want to suffer. I mean, why would you ensure yourself pain by seeking what only you can keep? But a teacher of God, a teacher of truth, does want to keep for himself or herself all things that are of God or love. Therefore, for God's creation, which is God's Son. These are the things that belong to a teacher of love. A teacher of God wants to keep all the things that are of love. A teacher of God wants to keep all the things that are of love. These are the things that belong to you. These are the things you can give away in true generosity, protecting them forever for yourself. You can give the truth away in true generosity, protecting the truth forever for yourself. Patience is the next characteristic that we will acquire. Those who are certain of the outcome can afford to wait. And those who are certain of the outcome can afford to wait without anxiety. Patience is natural to the teacher of God. Patience is natural to a teacher of truth. Patience is natural to a teacher of truth. All a teacher of truth sees is certain outcome at a time perhaps unknown to you, but not in doubt. The time will be as right as is the answer, and this will be true for everything that happens now and in the future. The past as well held no mistakes. Nothing that did not serve to benefit the world as well as you to whom it seemed to happen. Perhaps it was not understood at the time. Perhaps it was not understood at the time. Even so, the teacher of God, the teacher of love, the teacher of truth is willing to reconsider all your past decisions if they are causing pain to anyone. Patience is natural to those who trust. Sure of the ultimate interpretation of all things to come in time, no outcome already seen or yet to come can cause a teacher of God fear. Next characteristic, faithfulness. The extent of your faithfulness is the measure of your advancement in the curriculum. How much faithfulness you have in the truth is the measure of your advancement in the curriculum. What does that mean, that your faithfulness, how do you measure your faithfulness? It works like this. Do you still select some aspects of your life to bring to your learning while keeping others apart? If you select some areas of your life to love while keeping other areas to fear, then your advancement is limited. It means your trust is not yet firmly established when you select some aspects of your life to apply the truth to while keeping others apart. Faithfulness teaches of God's trust in the Word of God to set all things right, not some, but all things right. Generally, your faithfulness begins by resting on just some problems. Your faithfulness remains carefully limited for a time at the beginning. You just have faith that some of your problems could be solved at the beginning. That means your faith is remaining carefully limited for a time. To give up all problems to the one answer, to give up all problems to the truth that you are learning, is to reverse the thinking of the world entirely. To give up all your problems to your Creator is to reverse the thinking of your ego entirely. And that alone is faithfulness. Nothing but that really deserves the name faithfulness. Yet each degree of faithfulness, however small, is worth achieving. Readiness, as the text notes, is a mastery. Readiness is not mastery. Just because you're ready doesn't mean that you have mastered it. So true faithfulness, however, doesn't deviate. What does it mean that true faithfulness doesn't deviate? Well, it means being consistent. True faithlessness is wholly honest. That means true faithlessness being unswerving. True faithfulness is full of trust. That means being based on fearlessness. True faithfulness is gentle. Being certain, true faithfulness is joyous. And being confident, true faithfulness is tolerant. Faithfulness then combines in itself the other attributes of God's teachers. Faithfulness implies acceptance of the Word of God, and faithfulness implies that you accept God's definition of you. It is to God's definitions that faithfulness in the true sense is always directed. Toward the truth definitions, God and God's definition, that's where you look, seeking until it finds. Defenselessness attends faithfulness naturally, and joy is the condition of faithfulness. And having found faithfulness, rest in quiet certainty on that alone to which all faithfulness is due. Okay, let's hear it. Okay, if a person wants to have peace, you have to learn how to be simple. Being simple means that you don't have a lot of stuff in your life that you feel like you have to spend all your time defending and protecting. I'll say it again. To be simple means that you don't have a lot of dreams that need defense against the truth. In other words, you don't try to make yourself, and you become happy because you know that God created you. And if you were created by God, why do you need to be protected? And you will not become an advanced lover until you fully understand that defending is nothing but a foolish guardian of insane ideas. That's what a mad illusion is. The more grotesque the dream, the bigger the illusion, the more fierce and the more powerful its defenses seem to be. Your biggest hang-up is the one you protect the most and you got the biggest defenses about. Your biggest grievance, that's the one that is the most powerfully protected. Okay? Now, so what we're doing is we're saying, I know I got my illusions, but I'm getting ready to look past them. I'm not going to spend another day focusing all my attention on my illusions, my fears, my anger, my grievances, my separations, my plans. I'm ready to look past those obstacles I'm ready to look past those blocks. So what does that mean? Well, the minute that you're willing to look past it, you'll see that nothing was there. But you won't see that nothing is there until you're ready to look past it. So how do you do that? How do you look past it? Well, slowly you have to let yourself be undeceived slowly. That's what these classes are about. That's what reading the truth is about. It's